It is Sunday night, and it is time for episode 11 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. And with me once again after a week's break is James. How you doing, my friend?
Doing good, Kyle. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. We got a ton to talk about, man. We've got some news about the Oscars, about the BAFTAs that were just being held, toy sales, Rogue One, a note on The Force Awakens, a random thought, more or less, and a couple other things. So what do you say we jump right in?
Sounds good.
Oh, wait a second. We got to wish everybody out there a happy Valentine's Day. What's left of it anyway.
Yeah, it's true. Valentine's Day for all the couples out there.
Yeah, hope you guys had a good weekend with your significant others, and this weekend was all that you dreamed it would be, and that your quest to prove once again how much you love your partner paid off. And with that, we will get right into the show. And I had a random thought that popped into my head, James, and I want to know what you think, but I was thinking about Maz Kanata and how she'd been running this pub. We don't even know what the pub is called, really, but apparently she'd been running that watering hole for 1,000 years. And then Han Solo shows up with Rey and Finn, and now, you know, an hour or two later, it's rubble. And if I'm Maz Kanata, I'm pretty pissed at Han, because although he didn't admit it, I'm sure she figured it out. That he led the First Order right to her doorstep.
I hadn't really thought about it until you had mentioned it, and you're not wrong. She definitely wouldn't have been happy if she got to speak to him again. Now we'll never get to know, because they'll never get to have a conversation. But no, definitely not the coolest friend move on his part.
No, total dick move, and he knew he was doing it too. He knew that if what was it that he said, that if he picked up the Millennium Falcon on his scanners, the First Order would pick it up on theirs, and they wouldn't be far behind. So he knew he was bringing the First Order right to Maz Kanata's palace, pub, bar, castle, whatever you want to call that place. And it's basically his fault.
Yeah, well, I guess he paid for it in the end. She can't be too pissed.
Yeah, I wonder if she would have used any of her alleged force powers to maybe force choke him. If Kylo Ren didn't kill him, maybe she would have, or maybe she should have. That was quite the dick move.
Yeah, I wonder. It's a stupid. I guess it's late at night, but when you said force choke him, I immediately went to her crush on Chewie and whether or not she could force choke Chewy, but in a different way. I'm really off on a tangent in my own mind.
Oh boy, well, I think we're PG-13 at best, so maybe we'll save the Wookiee choking for another day.
Just back to one final thought on what you were saying. Yes, definitely dick move, but they were desperate too, so. Sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures, and maybe if he had another choice, he wouldn't have brought them right to her front door.
And she knew it too, right? I assume you need something desperately. Let's get to it.
Yeah, exactly.
But she seemed surprised that the First Order showed up, right? She said, "Those beasts, they're here!" Like, as if it's a surprise. And I don't know if Han's face was in that shot, but you can imagine him just going, "Yee!" Like, oh man, sorry, dude.
Yeah, she.
My bad.
Doesn't come across as overly intuitive by not putting that right together.
Yeah, I guess in the chaos of the moment, she was thinking about other things. But yeah, that was when she finally does figure it out. It's sort of like Newman, that kind of moment.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so that's where I'm at now with The Force Awakens. I've seen it enough times now that now I'm at the random thought stage. Maybe that'll be the new segment on the show, since I'm done with the box office updates, and there was no stupid fan theory of the week this week.
Well, I'm sure there was, but nothing that jumped onto our radars enough to talk about.
I don't spend enough time on Reddit, which is where all these crazy things pop up on, so.
Exactly.
So we'll skip it for a week, and we'll move on to award season. It's pretty much upon us. And we had kind of complained, not so much complained, but lamented that none of the breakout stars from The Force Awakens were really in line to be honored for the work that they had done. But that changed a little bit tonight in England, where John Boyega, or Boy Finn, was awarded the Breakout Star Award. I think that's what it was called anyway. And it's the only award apparently on that show that is voted on by the public and not critics. So a feather in John Boyega's cap for sure. Congratulations to him. And also some recognition for Daisy Ridley, who will be presenting an award at the Oscars. So somebody at the Academy, or whoever runs the show, maybe they wanted to throw a little bone her way and at least get her up on stage. Maybe not accepting an award, but rather handing one out.
I know a lot of guys who would want to throw a bone her way.
Hey!
Definitely the more Daisy we can get on stage, on TV, the more exposure we get. I think everybody wins, you know. She's marketable. She's personable. Everything we've seen of her so far, everybody loves her. So, you know, makes sense for the Oscars to want her to present an award. I'm glad they did.
Yeah, I mean, both of the young stars of The Force Awakens are the charismatic, magnetic type, where their smile just sort of not only just lights up whatever room they're in, but you want to be around those people.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, the biggest movie in North America of all time, I guess, carries enough weight to get you to be a presenter.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like only good things happen if you hang out with those two people enough.
Yeah. It seems that way so far.
Now, on the same note, have you seen any of their Instagram posts?
I haven't really, I don't think. I don't want to say none, but is there something specific you're referencing?
Well, specifically John Boyega posted one this week where, or maybe it was the week before, whatever it is. And he's doing a pull-up, but it's a view from behind. And his back looks like, to quote, I think Danny DeVito out of Twins, he sees Arnold Schwarzenegger's back in it. He said it looked like a map of North Dakota. And he's getting jacked. So I guess we could put to bed any thought that whatever injuries he suffered with Kylo Ren's, with the battle with Kylo Ren, that it put him in some sort of floating wheelchair like George McFly. It looks like he's going to be raring to go. And he said as much, that he has a much more physical role, but he looks like he's going to fit the part this time.
Cool. Awesome. The more action, the better. I think those are some of the best parts of the movies, are the physical parts. And I'd much rather see actors, you know, doing the stuff themselves than CGI. So if he's getting in shape, that's a good sign.
I wonder if it means that he's going to be wielding more lightsaber action in this movie.
Well, or just fighting more in general, either way. I mean, to have him in game shape, I don't know, that only bodes well.
Yeah, and the same thing applies to Daisy Ridley. She's been frequently posting little video clips of her in the gym getting fit. And she's looking pretty serious too.
See, I'm not on Instagram, but that's reason enough for me to join.
Yeah, I mean, her she's getting some serious toned arms, which I guess she's going to need if she's going to be swinging a lightsaber around on set for the next couple months.
Yeah, exactly.
But like you said, like the more fit they are, the more convincing the action will be, and that's only good news.
Yeah, I hope the trend continues where they do a lot more real shots. And keep the CGI to a minimum, because I think that's part of the reason this movie was so popular and did so well, was because it looked so much more like the Star Wars we all loved to begin with.
Yeah. Now speaking of going back to the Star Wars that we loved, the toys. I mean, I know that you were a child of the 80s and you collected your share of Star Wars toys and probably any number of other toy lines as well. But the news came out this week that Hasbro had its biggest quarter in like 5 years. And they sold from September until whenever their quarter closes. I'm not sure when that is. It's probably sometime in early January. But they had sold $700 million of Star Wars crap, which is a foolishly staggering amount of money.
Yeah, it sort of makes you shake your head a little less at the 4. Whatever billion they paid for the rights.
Right. And exactly. And it seems pretty evident that Disney's going to make back their money way quicker than anybody had expected, including themselves. I just can't believe that you rake in that much money from toys in such a short amount of time. And the analysts are expecting the same type of haul for 2016. I guess with spillover from the Force Awakens merchandise, but also Rogue One merchandise is going to be hitting the shelves later this year. And news came out this week on that with the announcement that Rogue One would be getting its own dedicated Force Friday event, which is welcome news. But I guess for us as Quebecers in our lonely little sort of bubble in North America, it comes with a downside because of labor laws here where stores can't open at midnight. So we kind of miss out on that fun that everybody else seems to be allowed to have. I'm kind of bummed out.
We were talking off air about your last experience with trying to get involved with Force Friday and the big letdown it was. I had no idea that our laws made us different than everyone else in terms of releases like that. So I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, I had to, I called a Walmart at first and they gave me kind of no answers, but then I called a Toys R Us, the closest one to me, and they said no. They had already answered that question before. I guess they have it pretty rehearsed that nope, we're not opening at midnight. It's Quebec labor laws. And so you can get your Star Wars toys 9 o'clock, start the opening of business the next day, which was a bummer, but it is what it is. So I remember for The Force Awakens, I took that day off and I got up early and went over to the stores. I hit 2 Walmart, 2 Toys R Us. The first place I went just had the pallet of toys in the middle of the aisle. They weren't good to go at all. And there was nobody even there, not an employee undoing the pallet or shoppers looking to get their hands on the toys. So that was a bad start to the day. So I went over to a Toys R Us. And I found there was one guy there, one shopper who was slowly really? Picking through the toys. And so I grabbed a few figures as well. And there was just no vibe. There was no energy. There was no excitement. There was a couple of Star Wars decals in the window as you walk in. And of course, that's nice to see all the new signage and merchandising that they're doing. But you'd kind of expected or hoped for a little more considering the excitement for the movie. And I wonder, you know, we have a lot of listeners across Canada. What was your experience, listeners? Did you guys have a good time at Force Friday? Was there a vibe in the outlets where you shop? Because it was dead here in Montreal.
I wonder too, or not wonder so much, but I'll point out too that we didn't know The Force Awakens was going to be so great. And so Force Friday was riding on the coattails of the last trilogy. You know, that's the energy level left for, well, you know, not hardcore fans, but a lot of fans.
Right. Yeah. You're right. Because for the prequels, I remember 1999 and when the Phantom Menace toys launched, I think it was in early May, a few weeks before the movie opened. And it was sensory overload. You know, it was like a top 3 sensory overload moment in my life.
Right. And that, you know, that coming off the really successful trilogy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, 16 years later, but yeah, your point stands. People were stoked for the Phantom Menace and the trailers looked phenomenal and everything looked like it was going to be great. And then the toys all come and they all look great and the stores were into it and they were looking to rake in money and they did. But once the movie dropped and it was sort of a lukewarm reception.
Right.
I think toy sales sort of slowed after that. I have no data to back that up, but I feel like toy sales probably crawled a little bit after. And then, of course, stores were left holding the bag in the form of a lot of peg warmer toys that they could not give away at the end.
Right. So, you know, it sort of stands to reason that they, here in Montreal anyways, sort of didn't seem to want to take that risk again.
Yeah. So I remember episode two was much more scaled back, and episode three was sort of along that same vein. But, you know, that's a full decade ago, and I wonder if they're still scorned or burned, or if they have a long memory for what had happened in the prequel era and just said, you know what, let's just hold back first, because we got screwed the first time around. Let's only order a modest amount.
See what happens if this movie's, you know, if it's well-liked.
Yeah, if the movie's well-received, we'll put in bigger orders. Because another common complaint, and I think that was a much more widespread complaint, was that the availability of stock was also very spotty, and not a lot of things were actually available at the beginning of Force Friday. And I had to drive around to a couple stores, and all I was really looking for was the 3 3/4 action figures. In the end, I got what I wanted. But I did see a lot of people who weren't particularly impressed with what the day had to offer. And I wonder if that was just us here or if that was across North America. So if you're listening out there, send us a tweet at Tumbling Saber, Facebook. I'm curious to know what your experience was for Force Friday and what you expect for September 30th of this year, when all the Rogue One merchandise is going to drop. And did we talk about how we did mention the $700 million, did we?
$700 million in the quarter, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's that staggering amount again. Again, that they're expecting the same amount for this year, which I think is really absolutely insane. But again, I guess we should never really be that surprised when it comes to Star Wars, right?
No, and the action figure world, you know, sort of has a little life of its own. So even if, you know, there's always going to be a market for the figures as long as the movies are coming out amongst the hardcore fans. So it's all, even with Rogue One coming out, you know, it's not going to be a lightsaber movie. It's going to have its own tone. It's going to be different just because the characters are in the Star Wars world. People want to eat that stuff up.
Exactly. Now, on the note of Rogue One, Disney CEO Bob Iger, he has seen, I guess, whatever footage is available. I doubt it's anything polished or finished, or maybe not even roughly finished with as far as effects go. But he's on record as saying it. What he has seen, he loves and looks great, and it's going to be a great movie. And
right, but that's like, you know, you or I giving a review on how good looking our children are.
Exactly. Yeah, you wouldn't expect him to say anything else. The only thing I will say is that he did say the same thing about The Force Awakens at numerous points. And so I, as much as you're right, I completely agree. I'm willing to give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
I'd like to go. I wish I had known we were going to go specifically right here, because I'd like to do some digging and find out what he said about John Carter before it came out.
Oh, good question. That's a good point.
We could totally base all of his.
Can we destroy his credibility?
Credibility, yeah. Thank
right
you.
Right now,
I
guarantee
John Carter.
John Carter's going to look great. You're going to love
this. Fantastic. I love it. You guys are going to eat it up.
please eat it up.
It was expensive to me.
Please come see our movie.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't. I had no plans to see. Oh, actually, I saw the commercials and I was like, whatever. Like, it's a something I'd watch on Netflix a year or two down the line type thing. But then
maybe on an airplane if you were on a flight.
Yeah, exactly. Just I'm not going to go out of my way for it. If I'm bored one night and it's available to me, I'll watch it. But then the reviews came
and it was terrible.
Oh,
and I didn't even know it was bad when I turned it off. Meaning I hadn't heard any reviews or of the reputation. I had a pirated copy someone had lent me, so you know, I hadn't been in theaters very long, and I didn't really listen to any of the buzz, so I didn't know it was supposed to be so terrible. And boy, did I hate it.
That bad, eh?
Oh, it's awful. Yeah, it's
oh
awful.
Boy, that's always fun.
But yeah, all to say, his reputation, you know, as the president, he probably says a lot of things about a lot of movies that critics wouldn't necessarily agree with.
You're probably right. He's got to kind of be that cheerleader in all situations.
I want him to be telling the truth. Don't get me wrong.
I think he is, but again, it's really hard to put too much stock into what the president of Disney is saying.
Right.
But it's kind of, I didn't expect him to be this involved, because apparently he was really, really involved with seeing what was available about The Force Awakens. Like when footage would be ready to see, he was peeking at it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I wish, wouldn't it be fun if studios had to be transparent with, you know, documents and information? Like two things so far that, as we've been talking, I wish we could see it. I wish we could see the forecasts. Imagine the financial forecasts that the analysts and economists were making, and that their staff were making to them about how much money it would make. I'd love to see what the actual numbers were, high end, low end, of what the expectations were before the movie came out. Likewise, I'd love to know what the list of things that the studio sends to the director and says, like, you can and cannot do the following. Like, how much is, like, carte blanche, do whatever you want, and how much is, like, Darth Vader can't not appear in two movies. That he has to appear in at least two movies, that's contractually bound. Or, you know, you're not allowed to show any Gungans. Or, you know, how much did the studio sort of say yes to or no to? I'd love to know that stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like an overall mandate is to, you know, make this feel like Star Wars.
Yes. And
by Star Wars, I think they probably mean the originals.
Yes.
Just by virtue of the fact that it's obvious that they avoided the prequels at all costs. They avoided talking politics. They avoided anything overly drawn out. Anything that the prequels got nailed for, they stayed away from. For better or worse.
Yeah, with the exception of just a few shout-outs, and, you know, depending on which sort of fan theory you look at, some of the shout-outs to the prequels may have been negative. They really didn't even, you know, they paid a lot of homage to the original trilogy with, you know, she lives in an abandoned AT-AT, and they show the old destroyers, and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, there are pod racer remains as well that we sort of see in the background and stuff, but they definitely homaged the original trilogy much more than
comparing the two trilogies, the previously existing ones, one of them was heavily leaned on and the other one was just sort of silently nodded to,
right?
And you had to be a fan to really pick up on the prequel nods,
a lot of it. Yeah,
like I wonder, there's a semi-controversial topic out there that a lot of fans want to see Poe and Finn end up in a romantic relationship together. They saw those two as having sparks between them. I wonder if that is something that Disney would mandate one way or the other.
Yeah, if they're gonna have their thumb in the pie, so to speak, that's a place I'd see them sticking it pretty hard. No homosexuality in our Disney Star Wars universe.
It seems like a Disney thing, right? To be very vanilla about that type of thing.
Yeah, and he's purportedly the founder had a reputation for being pretty conservative in his views.
Mr. Walt.
Said nicely.
Yes. He certainly did take, or continues to take, a lot of heat for his views on anything that might not have lined up with his own.
But, you know, not that he's in charge anymore, but certainly his empire may still carry some, you know, they're a big multinational American rich white guy corporation. So I could imagine they'd be afraid to be the trendsetters and break the rules. And
Well, I think they went as progressive, quote unquote, as they might be willing to go at this point by making Rey the lead of this movie.
Rey and Finn, you know, as much as the Hollywood, right now in Oscar town, everybody's upset for minority roles, women's equity, black roles, etc.
The whole diversity thing, right?
This movie doesn't fit that, you know, problem.
No, this movie doesn't suffer from that at all.
Nope.
Neither of them are token characters. Both
are there any white guys in it who are not established characters? Like, is Poe white? I'm like Colbert. I don't see color. But is Poe like Hispanic or white?
I guess he's Hispanic. I think he's Guatemalan.
Okay, so is there any new white characters? Oh, of course, I guess Kylo Ren is white. But he's a bad guy, so the white guy's bad.
I know what you mean. Are there any white male protagonists that are new? As a lead, no. There's the Greg Grunberg character of Snap Wexley. He's at best a side character.
Right.
Lor San Tekka didn't last. I wouldn't call him a main by any stretch. Like I said, Disney did a good job. I keep saying Disney. I think I'm.
You're giving them too much credit.
Yeah, I'm making it sound like Disney was really the one pulling the strings in this whole movie, and I don't think they were. I think they have certain marching orders, like from a 30,000 foot view, they have certain marching orders that they issue, and they then let the creative groups do their thing after that. But I don't think they were that. What's the word I'm looking for? That intrusive. I mean, aside from Bob Iger wanting to see footage as it became available, I don't think he was sitting there going, "You think we can hit a little more on that, a little less of that, a little more of this?"
Yeah, but maybe because he didn't have to be. The fact that the president wanted to see footage that became available, you know, makes me think there were things that they, you know, would and wouldn't have approved of.
Yeah, because I mean, in this whole conversation that we're having here, we've completely not mentioned once the lady behind the whole thing, which is Kathleen Kennedy,
who right.
probably wields as much power in this process as anybody, Disney or not. She, of course, we've talked about her on the show before. She's a legend in Hollywood, and she knows what she's doing. There's nothing that's going on here that she doesn't have her finger on the pulse of. And if it's going to be in the movie, it's going to fit and it's going to work. I think as far as progressive things go in Star Wars, for example, putting putting Poe and Finn into a relationship together, I don't think they're going there yet. I think that maybe that the next big progressive step is something that happens in the next trilogy, whenever that might be, six years from now.
Yeah, I could even see them leaving it ambiguous. Whether or not they could have, you know, whatever, had a relationship, been in love with each other. I could see them leaving it ambiguous at best. I don't see them ever, you know, confirming it. How's that?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. They could leave it totally open. Because it doesn't feel like there's any natural romance brewing here.
It's me either, but you know, maybe I don't have my finger on that pulse, but I didn't catch that either. To me, they just felt like, and maybe romance, maybe it depends on your perspective, maybe romance and sort of bromance look the same, but to me, it just felt like buddies, like, just felt like they had a mutual respect / you know, hit it off as bros more than as they were falling in love with each other. I just didn't catch that vibe.
Yeah, I didn't catch that vibe either. And you know, as far as Rey goes, I think the focus for her is to set her up as a hero, not as some dude's arm candy, so to speak.
Right.
Which is fine, and that is probably fair. But yeah, I agree with you that they could totally leave it open for fans to decide. And again, like we've mentioned already, these characters, if they're going to be with us for the long term, I guess at some point they're going to have to define whether or not they are or not in love with each other. Talking about Poe and Finn.
Well, that's true too. Rey and Finn are the two hot characters from Trilogy One. I don't think we're going to see both of them at the end of Episode 9. I don't think we're going to see. I don't think Finn's going to make it.
He seems like the noble type that would kind of bite it in a very sacrificial way.
Well, you know, actually, it's something interesting that just popped into my mind. He hasn't done anything that needs redemption yet. Like, if he was gonna have a redeeming scene where he casts his life down and saves somebody in order to make up for the bad things he did, then he should have killed a bunch of people before he had a sort of revelation about not being a stormtrooper.
His awakening.
Yeah.
That is also a good point.
So I don't know if they can't. It'd be weird for them to kill him off because that death wouldn't be redeeming for his character, because he's already redeemed. Right now he's the guy, the stormtrooper who like saw through the brainwashing and like, you know, walked away from killing. For him
to die. Finn is
I guess they can make him a martyr, but
he's pure as the driven snow.
Yeah, exactly.
He could always be that guy. He could always be the conscience of this new Star Wars crew, always be the guy that has the moral compass in the right direction, and then he could suddenly lose it, and then killing him becomes easier to do, or he's always just the good guy who lays down his life. But as far as romance goes, I think they made it pretty obvious that he has a thing for Rey.
They did make that pretty obvious.
But I think they also made it pretty obvious that she doesn't really think that way.
To me, they made it seem more that she's just not into guys in general right now.
Yeah, I mean, as much as Finn has had a pretty messed up day, she's had a pretty messed up day too.
Actually, you know what? If one of them is gay, it's Rey. From what I saw in that first movie, if one of them gave me the impression that she was not into the other sex, it was her.
If forced to choose, yeah.
He definitely made it look like he was into her, and she didn't make it look like she was into anyone. So, yeah, the Finn Poe thing holds little water for me, and I don't think we're going to see a romance between him and her either.
Yeah, it seems like this trilogy may be almost romance-free.
I'm okay with that.
That's okay for now, sure. Absolutely. So yeah, where do we want to go next? Oh, this is a meaty one. So Ewan McGregor apparently is in talks to play Obi-Wan as a Force ghost in Episode 8.
I read that, and it's interesting.
It's really interesting, and I wonder if let's just spend 30 seconds on this. If he shows up, let's just assume that for a second he will be in the movie as a Force ghost. Is he appearing to Rey? Is he appearing to Luke? Or both?
I'd say if he's appearing to only one, he's appearing to Luke. It wouldn't make sense for him to appear to Rey. Maybe some lineage theories aside. It wouldn't make sense in that there's no established relationship there. So
yeah, who the hell are you?
It would be weird. It'd just be a ghost. but to Luke, it would make sense. And if, you know, or if Luke and Rey were together and Obi-Wan were to appear, that could seem pretty normal as well. But I don't think he would appear just to Rey.
Now, I wonder, because now Luke is older than Kenobi was when he died. So I wonder if they've had any contact with each other at some point, or if this is the first time Kenobi's going to get a look at Luke and go, whoa, Jesus, what, you've aged? Wow. You're biting my styles too. The little beard going. Because it's true. Mark Hamill's in his mid-60s, and I think Alec Guinness was, I don't even know if he was 60 when he filmed A New Hope.
Really? I guess that sort of makes sense.
Almost a bit of a reversal there. But I'm wondering, there's a, I guess, a bigger bigger narrative here, I guess, in play is if Ewan McGregor is, in fact, coming back for Episode 8, I wonder if there's more going on to bring him back in a standalone of his own or as a trilogy. I wonder what's going on there, because it seems like Ewan McGregor is down for whatever. It sounds like he's in for sure.
Yeah, he's sort of said in a couple different places that he'd he's sort of welcome coming back.
I mean, and he did come back to do some voiceover work for The Force Awakens, so it seems like he's willing to play ball. And of course, if the price is right, he's definitely going to play ball.
A trilogy would be a big stretch, I think, though. They're limited to, storyline-wise, how much he can sort of do and how grandiose his adventures can be that in that timeline between the end of episode 3 and the beginning of episode 4, that Vader's got no wind of what he's been up to.
Right, because when they meet on the Death Star and Vader says, you should not have come back, the whole tone of that conversation is that this is their first encounter since the battle on Mustafar.
Or at least in a really long time.
Yeah, I would have to imagine. Well, maybe that's the hook of the movie, that it's Vader Kenobi again. But then that would sort of neuter the Death Star scene in A New Hope.
Agreed. Yeah.
So but you're right. So anything that Kenobi does, whether in a standalone or a trilogy, and of course a trilogy being harder to plan and write, anything he does, on one hand, has to be impactful enough and compelling enough to warrant one or three movies, but yet not so important that, like you said before, Vader and or the Empire wouldn't pick up on it. So that I think that's the challenge.
Right, and unless they could do this, I suppose, and so set some sort of time bomb where we find out in episode 10 that something Obi-Wan Kenobi, set in the works 100 years earlier is now coming to fruition or, playing out. Basically, the story has to be self-contained and I don't want to say not a big story, but not so big in the Star Wars universe that it affected the events, political events, of the main, the big characters that we know, like Vader and the Emperor and Leia. And there are other people who, out there who would know of things that Kenobi, is doing, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a fine line to walk. And of course, there's hardcore Star Wars fans that will eat it up regardless. But I guess from their perspective, they don't want to do something not fitting of the character, the Star Wars name. I guess with a character like that, a big time character, you want to serve everything right by making an impactful story. And I guess maybe that's what they're struggling with at this point. If they're struggling at all, maybe this is all very elementary to them and maybe they're just trying to figure out when and how to do this.
Yeah, and at the same time, maybe someone's got the ideas all lined out, ready to go. Or maybe they're watching as these movies unfold. You can get an idea as to what motivations could be for the characters as you're seeing them on screen. You say, it gives you an idea as to what to write for someone's backstory.
Exactly. And I'll loop back a little bit here. Talking about toys, we had the New York's the toy fair. I'm not sure what it's called, but there's a big toy fair in New York this weekend. And one of the figures on display was a Darth Maul figure. So he's going to be returning to Star Wars Rebels very soon.
Which you're going to have to clue me in. I'm out of the loop. How did he come back from being chopped in half?
Well, he came back in the Clone Wars cartoon. He somehow had survived that. It was it's been a while since I've seen that particular arc, but he had somehow kept himself alive.
Wow.
And he had lost his mind. He was a complete nut job.
And his legs.
And he had he had some surgical procedure, and he had these mechanical spiderish legs to get around with, which are eventually witchcrafted into more suitable bipedal legs, so to speak. And he had a great arc. They really fleshed out that character in the Clone Wars over a few years. And then he, of course, that series ended very unceremoniously. And now he's coming back again. in Star Wars Rebels, we saw him, or what we everybody very strongly suspected was Darth Maul. And now images that were taken at this toy fair all but confirms it. I mean, it's Darth Maul. So he's coming back. So he's in the same timeline as Obi-Wan's exile.
And also already has a history, a perfect history with Obi-Wan for them to set up, more battles / a whole storyline.
Yeah, there's plenty of potential of conflict between Obi-Wan and Darth Maul. And I guess the only question is what they plan to do with him in Rebels. Will he survive to get through that series and live on elsewhere again? Perhaps in an Obi-Wan spinoff movie, which I think would be super cool because we've seen a version of that in a Star Wars graphic novel, sort of a what-if type book, where Darth Maul is on Tatooine and he's at the Lars homestead. And I'm not sure if he's there to kill Luke or what. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've read it. But basically Obi-Wan shows up in very cool fashion, sort of bursting out of the sand to take on Darth Maul and protect Luke. And at the end of the day, it's Uncle Owen who shoots Darth Maul right through the chest with his blaster rifle. And it's a cool story. It's a short story, but it's really neat. And I wonder if that could serve as some kind of inspiration for an Obi-Wan spinoff movie. I think they really could, and I think it would really work.
I'd be interested to see it.
Yeah, and like we said, it's a natural villain for Obi-Wan to take on. Somebody who is significant enough already in the Star Wars galaxy that you could buy it. You could buy that Darth Maul is a lead bad guy. You would buy his motivation to get revenge on Obi-Wan. I think it could work. I'm talking myself into it here.
Yeah, you're talking me into it too.
That's going to be the thing I go with now. I'm going to die on that hill. More Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul on the big screen. That's what I want to see. Disney, make it happen. I know you're listening. No, they're not.
No, probably not Disney.
No.
But maybe some of his henchmen. So pass up the word.
Yeah. Hey. It currently, as we record, it is 12:27 a.m. Meaning in England, it is, I think they're, I don't know if they're 5 or 6 hours ahead, but I'm just going to assume that it's 6. At this very moment, people are gathering to have the first, what we believe to be the first cast call for episode 8. I mean, think right now, it's actually happening at this very moment. They're sitting together in a big meeting room. Or maybe around wherever. Doesn't matter where they're sitting. They're all hanging out together right now.
I wonder if the excitement in a room like that is what it would be for you and I. I bet it is. I bet they're just as excited to sort of get at it and be involved. And
oh, after what they all just – I guess there's two sides to the coin, right? Because really, these guys have not had a break. With the whole ramp up to The Force Awakens and all the press and travel that they had to do over the holidays for that, I can't imagine they've had much downtime. Especially for guys like Finn or John Boyega and Daisy Ridley, who have to get in good physical shape. And we talked about that earlier. These guys have to get in good physical shape for this movie. I can't imagine they had much time off in the last little while. So this may be, if it was me, of course, I'd be bouncing off the walls, ready to go. But maybe from their perspective, they're gassed. They're still tired, and here they got to go again.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure there's an aspect of that. But I would imagine they're young. I would imagine that with the newfound fame and fortune and excitement that comes with it, you're right, they're probably tired a lot of the time. But especially at the very beginning of the new project, I bet you there's a lot of excitement.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess to a certain extent, they do it to themselves because even though they had the BAFTAs tonight, John Boyega was there to accept his award. It was late night there in England, and he said, I'm going to the after party to this, and I've got to be at my call tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. So in a certain slant of light, you do it to yourself. If you're tired, you go to bed, or otherwise don't complain.
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe when Force Awakens comes out, we should look for the scenes where he's got bags under his eyes.
It's actually 5:30 a.m. there right now. It's not 6:30 yet. So he's right now in his limo on the way to the studio, trying to freshen up and look like he wasn't out all night.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he's just trying to get a cab over there. But some people are probably rolling in now, probably saying hi for the first time in a couple months.
That's
or a few weeks, and grabbing a coffee or six. That's exciting, man. It's actually happening right now.
Yeah.
And of course, on the other side of, or much further west, about 9 hours west from there, from London, is what's going on in California. They're starting pre-production for episode 9. So I can imagine over at Lucasfilm, a bunch of amazing concept artists are getting to work on designing sketches and scenes, vehicles, weapons, you name it, costumes for episode 9. That's happening also at the same time. So we are really in it again, and it won't be long before we start getting reports from the set.
Oh, definitely. Leaked stuff, official stuff. We were talking earlier off air. I was sort of, and I wonder if any of our sort of listeners feel the same way or had any of the same concerns. But the fact that because it's not one director doing the whole trilogy, I had mentioned that the idea that they're doing some pre-production stuff for episode 9 before episode 8 has hit theaters, before the director's seen what episode 8 looks like or can even know what the movie's going to be. Is it a good idea for them to be disjointed like that? I thought you had a couple of sort of good reassuring views on that.
Yeah, no, I think these Colin Trevorrow, Rian Johnson are working very closely together. Even though Rian Johnson wrote or has written episode 8 and then had to rewrite it, I guess, recently, I think he's done this very closely with Colin Trevorrow. And I'm speculating, of course. But I think there's something to it, because there were unsubstantiated reports that Rian Johnson actually filmed a scene, maybe even two, in The Force Awakens. So it makes sense to me that Colin Trevorrow is going to ride shotgun at least part of the way here in the early going as they get underway with episode 8. It makes total sense to me. You want that transition to be seamless. Of course, each director will bring his own vision and, I guess, style to the movie. But I guess there are certain, and I'm not a movie maker by any stretch, but there are certain things you want to keep consistent, I guess. So it makes all the sense in the world that these two guys would be spending a lot of time together, not only now, but in the last few weeks, and I guess looking ahead for the next few months.
Yeah, I think it's important too, especially movies within the same trilogy. It would be important within the same universe, but you know, if director A had 3 movies, and those movies would obviously look alike, and then director B took over in the same universe, but his trilogy looked different, you know, that's one thing. But for within the same trilogy, for there to be, you know, big disparaging image differences or feel differences in the movie, I think, you know, I wouldn't want that. So I hope they're working closely together.
Well, I guess you could ask yourself that question about the original trilogy, because it had 3 separate directors.
Yeah, but they weren't written at the same time. One movie would come out, then the next script. Oh, no, sorry, you're right. They would have been, at least the general framework would have been compiled, right? Right at the beginning? Didn't he say he has always had the scripts?
Yeah, he always had like a general outline, I think. Luke and Leia started out as what looked like to be love interests and then became siblings. It was a very fluid screenplay that they had. Things got changed all the time.
Yeah, and do the movies look exactly the same? No, they don't. That's a technology question a little bit, but definitely a director, you know, a director thing as well.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a I feel like Return of the Jedi feels different in tone from the other two movies, especially. Like I think that one sticks out more than the other two do.
But I don't think they would have had the production overlap of this one. I don't think they, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think they would have started pre-production on episode 6 before episode 5 came out.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, these three movies seem to be almost being treated as one.
Right.
Just sort of separated by small gaps of time, whereas the original trilogy was they had like clear end points and start points as far as production goes. I know what you mean. Anyway, this week we've got a few listener questions that we got to tackle here before we wrap up the show.
Terrific. Love listener questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Gives us – catch us off guard here as Josiah is going to do right here. He's putting our feet to the fire and asking us for a prediction of whether or not we're going to see another Rogue One teaser or trailer before the Captain America Civil War one. So yes or no for you, I'll let you start. And if your answer is yes, when will we see it?
I'm actually going to go with no. I don't see any movies on the schedule that make me think they'll deviate from the plan of releasing another trailer in May. I think we've got the teaser that came out last year, and that's all we'll get until May. I don't see it happening.
I will, for argument's sake, take the yes, and I'm going to say that they will give us something small. I guess we can call it another teaser, in conjunction with the release of the Blu-ray on April 5th for The Force Awakens. I'll go with that. I don't know how much I actually believe it. I can see it as being possible as maybe one of the hooks to buying the DVD. Like maybe they'll flat out say, yes, we have a teaser trailer for Rogue One on the second disc of this set, or it's buried as an Easter egg or something.
Yeah, that's sort of the only way I see it happening. I think that, I don't think you're right, but if we're going to get another one, that's how I see it unfolding for sure.
Yeah, because there's not one coming anytime soon unless nobody is picking up on it and it's going to drop like a huge shock. So if they're not going to do it very soon, you know, the next natural point is the Blu-ray release. And then after the Blu-ray release, you know, you've only got like maybe 6 weeks or so until Captain America anyway. So I would say if it doesn't happen for the by the time the Blu-ray drops, it's not going to happen until Captain America comes.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. So thank you, Josiah, for the question. Anytime you got something you want us to kick around, just let us know. And here we've got a two-pronged question from Carlos on Twitter, and then a more elaborate question from the same Carlos. So the first is, do we believe that Snoke is a Sith Lord? And if we don't, do we see the Sith returning only to be destroyed again? I'll let you start this time, James. Did I let you start last time?
Yeah, I went first. You go first.
All right, I'll go first this time. Okay. I'm going to say that Snoke is not a Sith. That's
okay.
It. Okay. He's not a Sith.
And are you going to propose what he is?
Nope. He is Snoke. He's a one of a kind.
All right. Well, here's why I'm going to say he is a Sith. And I think they basically told us without telling us. They talk about, well, first of all, we agree that, Kylo Ren is using the Force. He has strong Force powers even.
Yes.
And as far as we know in the Jedi universe, or excuse me, the Star Wars universe, there are only two Force using groups that we know.
Well.
I'm not saying there aren't other Force users, but there are only two groups.
Okay, right. Because I was going to say, well, there's Maz Kanata.
Well, rumored Force user.
Rumored Force user, yes. There's in the Rebels series and Clone Wars, there's Anakin's old apprentice, Ahsoka. who was a Jedi but walked away from the Order. But yeah, we don't have to get all into that.
But yes, there isn't like a third. There isn't another religion or another take or another, as far as we know. So with those two things that I'm sort of taking as facts, when Snoke says, you know, bring me back Ren so I can complete his training, this all but, you know, ties up with a nice little bow. A Sith apprentice relationship. And so, yeah, they're Siths, or, you know, Ren will be a Sith Lord at some point.
So if they're Sith, then they were never really destroyed in the first place. Does that, for you, does that invalidate what happened in Return of the Jedi, when we were led to believe that the Sith were finally vanquished? Does it cheapen the ending of that movie and trilogy at all? When you know now that, oh God, this whole party they're having on Endor is really a bunch of BS because they didn't win anything.
Yeah, I see why you say that, because if the Sith died, you know, the last Sith and the Order died with that movie, then it does, you know, balance was brought to the Force with the Sith, and now there is a new problem, but it's not the Sith, and that's where this sort of question comes from. I get all that, but I don't think balance to the Force is indefinite. I don't think it invalidates it in that, you know, balance was brought to the Force for a time, for that time. But now
it fell out of balance again. And
yeah. And there's always going to be light and dark. And that's the other thing. When it comes to talking about the Force, and we're dealing with Force users, if there's a third way to use, you know, a third group or whatever, it's going to be light, dark, and what, gray? Like, they've sort of already divided the Force into, you know, you're either a Jedi using the light side or a Sith using the dark side, and who's going to train you to do one of those two things if it's not someone using the light or the dark? I don't know. It just seems to be pretty cut and dry that they cut it down the line in two, and the Jedi's are going to be, you know, Rey in the next movie, and I don't know. It just seems clear to me.
Yeah, interesting question. It is
a good question.
One. It is a good question. I can see it falling either way.
I have doubt. I do have doubt, because there are a lot of reasons for the story to not have the Sith in it. So it's a good question.
So for posterity, you're a yes. Snoke is a Sith, and yes. Ren will become a Darth at some point.
Yes.
If he can successfully complete his training.
He will become Darth Ren or something cooler.
Something hopefully. Well, you know, he's going to have a new mask and I believe a new saber. I think Rey wrecked his and Ren forgot his helmet on that catwalk. So he's going to have a whole new look to him. Hopefully a more badass look to him.
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty good, but sure, I'm looking forward to a new look.
And so Carlos's next question, how will episode 9 end considering episode 10 has been confirmed?
Right. Well, one way to look at it is they can't completely end the storylines in episode 9 since we know there's an episode 10 coming. But I don't buy into that because to me, there's nothing that says episode 10 can't take place, you know, way into the future. And even if characters survive episode 9, they don't have to necessarily have anything to do with episode 10. It could be their great, 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 great grandkids involved, etc. So I'm not saying that's what I think for sure will happen, but I don't think that they're handcuffed themselves to leaving an open-ended finish to the trilogy just because they've released the idea that there's going to be for sure an episode 10.
Right. Well, we know for sure that the end of episode 9 is going to have a satisfying conclusion.
Like I think it'll be, yeah, I agree that it will have that satisfying conclusion, and most of the storylines will be wrapped up.
Yeah, because the trilogy has to stand on its own. Whether, you know, if you're someone who just came to Star Wars fandom and this is your trilogy, 20, 30 years from now, if this being your trilogy, you would want these three movies to be sort of able to stand on their own three legs, so to speak.
Right.
So this movie is going to feel like a closed loop. But I also feel like the cast, at least the ones that will survive, are going to still be, for the most part, young enough that they're going to want to bring them back for episode 10.
Right. And yeah, you had mentioned that to me when we talked about this earlier as well. I won't disagree with that. If Finn makes it to the end, he's certainly, you know, a marketable, at this point anyways, seem to be a marketable actor who you'd want to have in more movies. Same with Daisy, same with Poe, same with anybody who makes it to the end. I'm just saying, I don't think that they're, you know, some people are saying, well, it's going to have to be open-ended because episode 10 is coming. And, you know, I don't think that means anybody's safe. I don't think it means, you know, I don't think we should count anything as a given just because episode 10 is coming out. I think they could kill off anyone, including Rey. And I think they could end the story.
Yeah, I feel like the end of episode 9 will feel like the end.
Yes.
And episode 10, whether it takes place 1 year later or 100 years later, will feel like something completely different.
I sort of feel like I'll be surprised if Rey is the main character. I'm not saying she wouldn't be in the next trilogy, but I feel like I'll be surprised if she's the main character of the trilogy.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing, right? Like we know she's around for at least 2 episodes. She's probably around for until episode 9. I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, but unless something drastic happens in the story, you know, if she dies, well then that's it. But if she, unless something drastic happens where like she turns to evil, I feel like, you know, barring that, she's such a great character that it would be difficult to do a movie without her. Remember all the hair pulling that happened leading up to The Force Awakens when fans realized that Luke was not really in The Force Awakens at all. With every trailer that came out, every poster, every little TV spot, and there was no Luke. And fans would go nuts. Where's Luke? And they were getting really angry. And people who were in the know were saying, well, Luke's absence is indicative of his role in the movie. He's just not in the movie. And people were pissed. They were absolutely pissed, saying they would all but boycott the movie because how could you do a Star Wars movie without Luke Skywalker? And they did. They essentially did a movie without Luke Skywalker. Of course, he was the focus of the movie without being in it, really. But it would seem difficult to move forward into a episode 10, 11, 12 and not have Daisy Ridley a part of it unless, like you said, you skip way ahead.
Yeah, but yeah, and like you just sort of said, though, she could be in it without being as in it. You know, she could take over the mentor role. She could be the mother. She could be the, if she flips to the dark side, I guess she could be the protagonist again in the next trilogy. You know, the
antagonist.
The main antagonist, in the movie. And then, you know, whoever, her daughter, or whoever's going to be the main good guy, will battle her for 3 movies. And that's the only way I see her taking a primary role in the next trilogy.
Yeah. Really the X factor is how long do they wait before they start the next trilogy? Because it seems like you would want some time to pass with that character. You wouldn't want to, you'd want to see some growth in the character, right? Like right now she's a young woman. She's barely an adult.
Right.
And we'll see her probably, you know, she's, I think 19 in Force Awakens. She'll be early to mid 20s at best at the conclusion of this trilogy. I don't think you want to start episode 10 and still have her be in her mid 20s.
No.
I think you'd want to see that character kind of progress a little bit beyond where she's at.
Yeah, I agree.
Lest the character becomes stale, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Or unless, you know what, it's Disney. They're like, no, this is how you make money. You put Rey in front of the camera and make her kick ass. Okay, we'll do it 3 more times. Rinse, repeat. Until she's an old lady.
Yeah, that, maybe, but there's enough storyline out there for them. I think they'll be more creative than that.
I think so. I think so too. So there's our questions answered. Thanks everybody for sending in your questions. And James, I think we're done, man.
Hey, it's been a good night. NBA All-Star game. That was a defensive battle.
Yeah, they played a lot of defense tonight in the NBA All-Star game, that's for sure. Set a bunch of stingy defensive records. Of course, I hope you can smell and sense the dripping sarcasm. It was an absolute shooting gallery tonight at the NBA All-Star game in Toronto. Though, you know what? I wonder what all these American basketball stars think about having to come up to Canada with no ESPN. That's bad enough on its own. But now they had to deal with this frigid weekend that we had here.
The polar vortex.
Oh my God, they can't be happy about this.
No, that was no fun at all. I'm not happy about it, so they certainly didn't enjoy it.
All right, well, we're not gonna bore anybody with some more weather talk, so we're gonna say goodbye for this week, and stay tuned for next week, episode 12. And at some point, we talked about it before, but we're gonna do it. We're gonna do the Force Awakens commentary track, and we're gonna look to do that before the DVD actually drops. So if you haven't seen the movie in a while, we'll be doing that hopefully within the next month or so. We'll see how that plays out. But thanks again for listening, everybody. And James, I want to thank you for sticking around at this late hour.
Hey, my pleasure. Always fun, Kyle.
All right, great. So guys, thank you again for listening. And if you have a chance, please go check out the Marcos Kaiser YouTube channel. If you've been curious about the music that we play at the start of the show and at the end of the show, it's Marcos Kaiser on YouTube. And he does all kinds of amazing stuff on his acoustic guitar. The sounds of the 80s soundtracks that you grew up on, set to acoustic music. And it's amazing. You got to check out his work. And again, please subscribe in iTunes and leave us a review. It is the best thing you can do for us to help us grow the show. And until then, you can still find us on Facebook at Tumbling Saber, Twitter as well. And you know by now where to find us on the web. We will say adieu for now, as we say in French, and we'll pick you all up again next week with episode 12. Bye for now.